This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, have you identified and named your ideal customer avatar? Do you talk about it with your team? From the Aftermarket Radio Network, it's Carm Capriato, and I'm with Daniel Griffith at the 2022 Elite Invitational in San Diego. Listen as he breaks down finding the ideal customers and the importance of team culture. He even uses his employee testimonials in job postings. Hey, thanks to our partners for providing you this episode. You know, Apex 2022 will again feature Repair Shop HQ with you in mind. That's right, this one-stop destination is to meet the product, equipment, and training needs of shop owners, managers, and technicians. It's all happening at Apex 2022, November 1st through the 3rd in Las Vegas. Be there. I'll be there. Love to see you. To register, visit aapexshow.com/register. Now remember to also make your hotel accommodations on the Apex website, aapexshow.com. You know, you have to see Shopware's Messenger in action. You've got to see it to believe it. You can use live chats to send photos, videos, part summaries, and payments. You can do all of this with a repair order. Unbelievable, right? Talk to my friends on the web at getshopware.com. Hey, we're back in San Diego at the Elite Invitational. What an event, Daniel.
Holy smokes. Drinking from a fire hose, right?
I know, absolutely. 2 days of high-level, impactful stuff. The stuff we heard today was amazing. Daniel Griffith, Wally's Precision Auto Care, Las Vegas.
That's right.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing really, really well.
Good.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we're happy. Thank you for all the people at Elite that pulled all these great interviews together. Third generation.
Yeah, I always say that I married into this thing. I got that lucky. It was started by my wife's grandfather-in-law, my wife's grandfather, and then I now work with my father-in-law.
How nice.
Cool. Yep.
Yeah, did you have any experience in the automotive field?
Oh, none whatsoever.
Okay.
None whatsoever.
Here's this guy. We're going to drag him in.
Right. Exactly. And it actually started as a temporary thing while I was going to figure out what I was doing next. But then I just ended up coming in and filling some roles that they didn't have anybody doing or they didn't want to do. And I did want to do. And I've just, again, not coming from the industry and coming into especially a culture that was so ingrained in the industry. Their whole family had always been in the industry. It was just easy to look at things differently. And so that match fit really, really well. And here we are 13 years later, something like that. Not only are we still in business, we're still a family. So that's a big deal too.
No, that's huge.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? See, you deserve a gold Olympian medal. The whole family does.
I was about to say, it's not just me too.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
Because it's how many second, thirds, fourths don't make it?
Right.
And it's so tough to keep it together. So kudos to grandfather-in-law and father-in-law and for everyone to be willing and viable participants in the succession of this business.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, it's worked really well for everybody. And Wally originally founded the business. He retired completely in 2016.
Yeah.
And it's been my father-in-law, Jeff, and I since then.
How cool is that? Well, great. Honda Toyota specialists.
Yeah. So originally in the early 80s, Wally started doing Hondas exclusively. Eventually, obviously, that developed into Hondas and Acuras. And in the early 90s, in 92, Jeff, my father-in-law, he actually founded a business called Precision Performance. So we had Wally's and then we had Precision Performance right across the street that just did Toyota and Lexus at that point.
Oh, I see.
And so 2009, we put both businesses in the same shop and kind of shared some admin and support staff and still kept our technicians specialized. And then in 2020, the beginning of 2020, we merged everything into one entity.
I love the whole thing about what you said, Daniel, about being an outsider, because obviously you didn't grow up in the Bay.
Right.
You didn't speak car. You probably more spoke people.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I want to cover here is this whole move on marketing to a ideal customer.
Right.
And we just heard Joe Marconi do this incredible piece on finding your ideal customer. And Chris Monroe happens to be your coach within Elite. And you've probably been to Fly with the Eagles with Joe.
Right.
You've probably heard him speak in the past. I know Joe, he's been on the show before. He's a great guy. Tell me, as you were in the audience watching this, realizing you went through it yourself.
It was really great because a lot of that process we did, certainly without, it sounds like, as a refined a process as he's built around it. And there were certainly things that we didn't do because of that, that he said. And it's like, oh my goodness, we can take that home and still apply it. But just the idea of kind of reverse engineering that, figuring out, hey, we've got a bunch of customers right now. Which ones are the best ones? Which ones are the ones that if we could, we would multiply and just serve more of them? And so it starts with that process and using whatever tools you might have to filter that out. And then we did work with an outside marketing company there at the very end of that, just to say, hey, would you help us button this up? Would you help us figure out, and Joe mentioned the demographics and psychographics of these people that we're looking at. That helps on the finer points of certainly of advertising, and you can help build those lookalike audiences and get really specific with targeting. But even for us, it helped knowing the books that these people like to read. It helps knowing that informs so much, even just that. Where do they get content? What websites do they like? What books are they reading? What shows are they watching? Just to know the person that you're serving, if for no other reason than it makes it easier to connect at the counter.
But is that coming from the information that Facebook is collecting on people?
It can, but I think a lot of it too just came from, honestly, being a small business, one store, having three people who work the counter all the time, who could sit down in a room and we can identify a lot of those things right off the top. But then to have somebody who can come in and again run those actual studies on the area of the people that you're talking about and confirm or correct some of that thinking.
I was talking to a few people the other day about a book that I read about the future customer service from John DeJulius, and he had this acronym called FORD. F is family, O is occupation, R is recreation, and D is dreams, and that all of that information is culled from your experience. What's in the back seat, the stickers on the car, just a relationship conversation. But you take that, you get it into your software, your CRM program.
That's just observing.
Absolutely. So when that, and think about you having to look at the demographics and the psychographics on that customer. If you were collecting this information, it wouldn't be hard to feature on a keyword, right?
Not at all.
Because these customers love us. They've been around a long time.
Exactly. And that's why I say, again, we can overcomplicate this and hire marketing firms and do as much as you want. But at the same time, I'm guessing most of your listeners are like us. They've got a handful of people who work with their customers and have for a long time. Put your heads together. Sit down in a room and put a big post-it on the wall and just write stuff down that you know about them.
Go brainstorm.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of work any small team can get done with a large post-it on the wall is my favorite thing in the world. I think it's genius.
Hey, Apex has announced a new and exciting webinar series produced by Shop Owner and Tire Review that will offer training on automotive technology and business management. See all the classes and register at aapexshow.com/webinar. Now, stay ahead of the curve and don't miss these free Apex webinars that run now until September 2022. These webinars are part of a new 8-part Apex Repair Shop HQ series that will provide essential takeaways on ADAS and alignment diagnostics, hiring and retaining employees, no-code drivability diagnostic strategies, service advisor customer satisfaction strategies, navigating the rapids ahead, and start-stop system diagnostics. Each 45-minute webinar is recorded so you can share it with your team. See a complete list and attend any or all webinars. Simply register at aapexshow.com/webinar. You got to stay ahead of the curve, and you know that. Don't miss the next free Apex webinar. Register now, aapexshow.com/webinar. If you run more than one shop, you know how vital it is to keep up with how each one is performing. But it can drive you crazy to log in and out of each shop's database as you try to compare KPIs. Well, look, stop making it hard. With Shopware's advanced analytics, you can easily pull all that data into one report. Heck, you can even set up the system to pump it out in a graph or a chart and then email it to you anytime you want. Why tax your brain before you even start looking for trends and wins to celebrate? Let the computer do the work for you. Spend less time sifting through pages of numbers. Now, once you see your business's potential right in front of you, you can take steps to make it even better. And then you can take a night off to enjoy the time you just won back. Benefit. Go with the team that created DVX, my friends, at GetShopware.com.
One of the things that I loved to do back in my other life was to go around the country and do SWOTs.
Yep. It's one of my favorite things, too.
And I've always told people, I says, the owner should never do it because he's going to be biased. He is not going to put up the kind of stuff that the people should be telling.
We have no weaknesses. You've got to see the opportunities that we have, though.
Or somebody says, well, this is a weakness, boss. Are you kidding? So I love the whole post-it note, stick them up on the wall. You know, it's almost like stick it up there and see if it sticks.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In a real sense of the word. And you're looking at that. And then the beauty of post-its and the beauty of the 3M, the big stickums, is you keep them and you move them and you roll them up and then you take them out again and you take pictures of it. It becomes a living document.
Yeah. It's a little bit off topic of what we're talking about now, but one of my absolute favorite things to do with those, and I actually told our team a few weeks ago that we need to do one soon. We've probably done it, I don't know, 3 to 5 times now, but I've literally put one of those on the wall, and it's not my idea. It's the 4 Insightfuls. I think it's from a book called The 4 Degrees of Execution, if 4DX, if I remember right. But anyway, I think Traction talks about it a little bit too and some of the EOS stuff, yeah. But the 4 Insightfuls, it's working, missing, broken, and confused.
Yeah.
And you just write those at the very top. And working, we usually, just for the sake of time in these things, we identify, hey, we're doing a whole lot more right than we're doing wrong. So let's just start there. We're not going to build out this working list. Most of the things we're doing is working. But from everybody in the room and our whole team's there, what's broken, what's missing, and what's confused? And then, like you said, to your point, we can leave that up on the wall, and we've done it. I've left it up on the wall for a quarter. And as those things get fixed, we cross them off, and everybody gets to take part in seeing, we built a list of stuff, and now we've shaped the direction of where we're going by fixing all the stuff that we hated. So that's far and away my favorite thing to do with those.
Sophisticated business today. And I'm telling you, the people that I've met here, I met a lot of new great faces and friends. I hope they'll be friends and come on the show. I think there's a graduation class of a more sophisticated business person.
That's fun. I hope so. That's a fun direction to go for all of us.
It is, isn't it?
For the whole industry.
Everybody's stopping to realize that I just can't keep doing it this way. And look at the guy sitting to my left and the guy sitting to my right. Maybe you're over there, Daniel, and you've done this work and you've done SWOT analysis and you've put up the posters and you've got psychographics and demographics on your customers because you realize, if I could sell to the people that love me,
yep,
and I could find those new love connections, and I'm guilty of saying the word love in certain podcasts that I've gone on. I've gone up in front of people and say, you know, an organization that has love as a component of their culture is important. And they go, Carm, you're getting a little mushy and a little soft on us. And I said, well, let me rephrase the word love. Let's call it a verb and let's make it that we care for
sure.
We care for each other.
And that's the word we use all the time. We use the word care, we use help, and we use serve. And we talk a lot more about all of those things with regard to people than we ever do cars. We talk a lot more organizationally about serving people and helping people than we do fixing cars.
Cool. Hey, let's go back to the marketing piece. What did you find out by doing all this research?
I think the surprising part was, for us, wasn't where we dialed in. It was kind of, I think, again, especially what we expected after sitting down in a room and kind of putting our heads together, we could pretty quickly envision those customers, that pool of customer that we had, that we knew were similar, that we knew that, hey, if we could, we just multiply and serve a whole bunch of these all day. But as clear and defined almost as we had from the very beginning, a lot of aspects of that person, there was a second person. So that initial person, we realized that persona, we named her. We named her Jennifer. So Jennifer, we knew, again, age range, typical family life. She's a mother of 2 to 3 kids, and we have some understanding of income levels, of where they live, of even the zip codes that they're more populated in. And then a lot of that stuff, again, we're getting from outside help in that process. And I told you, too, another piece of that I mentioned earlier was those psychographics really kind of came down to, for us, some of those biggest connection points were, what books are they reading? Who are they following on Instagram? Just where they're getting their information. And again, that just, if nothing else, informs the ability to connect faster and easier. So we kind of had an understanding of what that person looked like from the very beginning. But the more and more we talked about it, and this was actually months, but we kind of got to a point where we buttoned that up. And then we said, wait a second, it doesn't feel like that's totally complete. And I think it was just because we had been thinking about it in relation to the people that we're actually working with. And we realized, hey, there's another one. And the more we talked about it, and the more we thought about it, the more I looked at some of the reporting that I could get my hands on, it seems like, yeah, there's absolutely another person who's, again, in Las Vegas, almost like a snowbird, who is an older customer who's retired and on a fixed income. And that was part of it. One of the things that made us realize, hey, there's probably another person that we need to talk about, was how many times we commented on the fact that people would say things like, this is the last car I'm ever going to own. If that doesn't shift some responsibility onto your shoulders, if you're standing on the other counter when somebody says that to you, you need to move into a different industry. Yeah. Because that we felt the weight of that. And so again, that came up and it's like, okay.
No pressure.
We're hearing these recurring themes. This is another person that we realize that we're serving.
The concept of naming your ideal client Jennifer, and I remember attending some seminars, it's got to be 15 years ago now, and I can't remember it all, but you brought back the think that I took away. And that is, when a new Jennifer walks in,
right,
and you at the counter are saying, oh my God, there's a new Jennifer, you go into this, they are my
right
customer mode.
This is what I've been waiting for. This is what we've been training for.
Yeah, because you've named that person. You've identified that person. You've identified all the traits, all the good and the bad baggage that comes
right
with that
right
person. And you could almost say, hey, we got a new Jennifer.
Yeah, and you've identified a lot of the headaches too, right? You've identified a lot of the things that she doesn't like. You've identified a lot of the things, you know, that obviously number one concern in her entire world is kids. If she comes in and a kid is running all over the place and going crazy, my goal is much to communicate well with her in that moment is to make sure she knows that I can connect on a level that I understand that. And I want to communicate really well. You've got to be a mom for a second here too.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it just little understandings like that can also just make our jobs easier.
So let's take this profile that you have to your counter and your people. What are you doing to continue to make it flourish?
I think just talking about it. It's not something, we don't even have those, I say those personas. We've got a PDF and we've certainly printed them out, but we don't have them posted anywhere. We just talk about it.
Okay.
Because again, a lot of those specifics really matter when it comes down to targeted marketing and advertising. But with us in the building, they're just connection points. And so it's not that we need a reference sheet in front of us all the time. It's more just the reminders of, hey, this is who we serve and this is what they're looking for. Because again, what they're looking for on the other piece of that, we've gone through an entire kind of customer experience process building out. So we've taken trying to figure out exactly what Jennifer is looking for in this process. So thinking through this entire experience from her perspective as we can, we just kind of think through again the highs and lows of each part of our experience and going through and identifying her core expectations, a handful, 2, 3, 4 things that at the very base level she expects every time she walks through the door, every time she does business with us, she expects. And then 2, 3, 4 ideals. And the expectations, when we hit these expectations, the only thing we've succeeded in doing is meeting expectations. So the only thing that we have made sure is that they're not going to leave unhappy. We've met their base level expectations for not being unhappy.
What about going above and beyond?
Those ideals. Now, when we can hit those 3 or 4 ideals, those are the things that turn people into raving fans, that turn people into songbirds. I know a lot of people in Elite love that word. Those are the things that endear them to us because we've served them that well, because they can feel, you've been in those businesses, you know that experience. When a business or when a person, more likely, at a business is able to hit that note for you, you may not even be able to identify it or know specifically what it was, but you know walking out, you enjoyed that experience. You enjoyed doing business with that. And that's what we've realized is those are coming through those ideals. So if we can put a system and a process around that and make that repeatable, we want to ring that bell every day, every time.
You walk out with the attitude, money didn't matter.
Right. That's not what you're thinking about.
So good.
I was just taken care of.
I have to ask a question. What is the name of your snowbird?
Clara.
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 Would you ever expand it to, okay, these are some personality styles that we see coming in, and maybe a little cheat sheet on that?
We haven't really thought that direction, but what I can tell you we've thought about is with regard to specific services, specific offerings. So let's say we're going to talk about expanding into a mobile service. The very first question is, does Jennifer give a rip about mobile? Like, does that make a difference to her? And that's obviously going to be a big qualifier. But if we could identify another person who would really be interested in that, who, again, works in tandem with everything else we're already doing, we're already serving. So part of that would be mobile communication. If we could figure out even, that's what we've talked about is a persona, or maybe even something like you mentioned, preferences within our personas of people that we know would prefer, like one of the panelists that we heard yesterday, he would much rather deal with as much of the process electronically as possible. Mm-hmm. And so if those exist in mass, more than just like a customer tag or a note in CRM or management system would do, that's kind of how we've thought through that.
You know, I find this so interesting. You just sparked me to think about this segmenting thing.
Right.
And it needs to be touch-free. It needs to be, you know, highly technical. Maybe you've got those customers out there that you just haven't identified.
And thinking about that exactly, yesterday when he was talking, the two words that he kept using over and over again were convenient and easy.
Yeah.
Convenient and easy. And so one thing I thought about yesterday was going through that exact customer process that I talked about before, that customer experience process, and building out kind of each phase. And again, looking, that's how we've done it in the past, looked at highs and lows, areas where we're hitting the mark, areas where we may not be, and then how we could hit the mark a little more consistently. But thinking about it instead of highs and lows or peaks and valleys or good and bad, whatever, but just easy. What parts of our process are easy and what parts are hard? And then just simplifying that down as much as possible. Because I think if we were able to do that, those people that feel the way that he did on that panel again yesterday, I think they'd come out of the woodworks like crazy. Just because, again, that's something we wouldn't have to necessarily, I think, again, there's probably a large part of that that exists within the customer base that we're serving, but we don't know about it for whatever reason. So I think they would just gravitate towards those things if we made them easy and obvious.
And I can't help but think about segmenting or subsetting Jennifer.
Exactly. And that'd certainly be part of it, because there's so much of the entire persona. I put off even doing personas for a couple of years, and I've got some friends in marketing that still aren't huge fans of them, just for the main reason we kind of started, or I mentioned when I started this, was that we don't really need that, is what they would say. We've got four people who deal with 95% of our customers. They know who they're talking to. They know who they're working with. But what we've realized, again, with some of the specifics that gives you in marketing, it just gives you such a shared language, if nothing else. It's pointing all of your guns at the same target.
And so my thing is, I'm kind of backpedaling here, why segment and subset? Just stay with what you got.
So to Tracy's question, that's exactly where we've landed, is I'll do it if it's warranted, if it ever seems worth it. Again, that was my original pull with personas, and now we've got two of them, because eventually we found that reason. We found, okay, it's worth it for us. And that's my favorite thing about small business, and I tell our team all the time, guys, we are 12 people in a room. If something's not working, we change it. It's that simple.
Easy to do.
We flip a switch.
Wow. You've been around a long time. How's the culture in the business supporting all of this?
That's something that we're actually really proud of, because at some point in time we've done enough things that apparently we're getting a lot of the culture pieces kind of right. We were just talking before we started recording, and that was one of the things that came up in a conversation with Chris Monroe, our coach with Elite recently, was that the average tenure, not counting the few hires that we made over the last year or so, the average tenure of our current team is over 12 years, which is just something that we're immensely proud of. And I don't think we even realize how much easier that has made our jobs as leaders of this team. They've been spectacular. I would give all the credit to them. But again, apparently we're ringing the bell on some of those right things some of the time.
Do you have a problem finding people to come to work for you?
It's a good question. We went through, the last time we hired three people between May and August of last year. We were originally just trying to find a GS and an advisor. I did work with an outside company to go through that because of just kind of what we anticipated coming. And sure enough, they posted the job description. And within about 48 hours, they posted, I think it was on Indeed, and within about, no, 72 hours, they had, for the advisor, that was the first one, I had 198 applicants. And very quickly, very quickly. It was narrowed down to 3 or 4 that would have even been viable for us, for our culture, for one reason or another, very quickly.
When was this? How long ago?
This was last May.
Because, you know, we're in this labor war right now.
Yeah, this was last May. But honestly, we'd rather not grow than hire the wrong people. So that's absolutely a part of it. And that's something that every time we've hired, that's something we've talked to our entire team about very carefully. We're bringing people on. We want to be very careful in the process because we recognize that what we have here, I mean, hey, everybody likes coming to work and we'd really like to keep it that way. And it doesn't take much in a team of that size to throw that off. And so that's something we've brought our team in on. We've had those conversations. I even said before we listed that first one last year, I said, you guys all like working here apparently for one reason or another. What about it would you say to somebody else that you like? What about it are those things that keep you sticking around?
It's genius, by the way.
So I just took the list that they gave me and we put it directly on the job posting. The heading is what our employees think. We recently asked our team what the best part of being on our team are, and here are some of their answers in their words. We are growing, honesty, we have personal relationships, no one's just a number. We act like team members instead of competitors. Our customers actually like us. Some actually like us enough to bring us donuts. We care about our work. There's growth opportunities. Consistent schedule, no nights, no weekends. We care about people. Friday morning breakfast. We have a team meeting and we buy breakfast for everybody every Friday. And then some days you might even find a dog hanging out with us.
I'm sold. Sold.
So it's just that list, actually, that's why I thought of it so quick, because that spoke volumes to me when we went through that. That was a lot of fun.
There's the secret of hiring. Let your people do it for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And we looped them on the interview process too. Every one of those people that we hired last year, came to work for at least a few hours, just getting their hands dirty with people.
And I can't imagine that Las Vegas is not without its challenges of finding talent.
I would absolutely agree. One of the things that we got, I think, incredibly, incredibly fortunate in is that second position that we hired for last year was a technician. And we found a guy with a heart of gold coming right out of school, so we didn't have to retrain a lot of things. He's been absolutely spectacular for us. And so again, that one, I think there's some aspect of us maybe doing some things right, but there's also some aspect of, call it serendipity, call it the grace of God or whatever you want to, but it works.
Yeah, I might tell you what it's called. It's called incredibly smart and intelligent business strategies to grow your own. You're growing your own. And well, I'm telling you, that's the answer.
I think you're exactly right. To that point, you asked about culture. What was Peter Drucker, the old quote that culture eats strategy for breakfast.
That's right.
And so sitting down in the room, hey, we've got the best strategies in the world, but you guys are the guys on this team.
Yeah.
Why should somebody else want to be a part of it?
So you hear me preach to my audience. I'm talking to you now. How important it is to get involved with education, to get involved with the technical colleges, get involved with the high schools, let them know who you are, spend some time, bring them to your place. This isn't going to happen on its own. We have to do this ourselves. And just for the fact that you hired a young person fresh out of school, right?
Yep. Yep.
And you say, wow, we can reprogram this thing a whole lot quicker than other.
To that point, the third hire that we made last year was actually a guy who applied for the GS position. He was coming straight out of high school. We didn't really have a spot. We were only hiring for the one GS. He seemed like a spectacular guy with a super bright future. We just didn't have the place. The other candidate, again, the person we put in that spot, he came out of technical school. So it was literally just kind of two guys on the same path. One was just a couple of years ahead of the other. But then I was honestly talking to a good friend of mine who's in a group of business owners around the country with me. And she owns a plumbing company in Washington State. And she said, you have an 18-year-old with good, solid values that you think highly of that wants to come work for you, and you're not going to find a spot. And after that conversation, it was kind of like, I think you're right. It kind of felt like somebody hit me on the head. And so we just kind of talked about it and we said, hey, here's the deal. We don't have what even amounts to a full-time spot yet, but we do have these things that you can do. And just the initiative and care that you've shown for wanting to be on our team, who am I to say no? So we brought him in. Now he's working full time and is on track to either fill into that next GS position or be an advisor.
It's amazing for you to hear from an outsider,
right?
An advisor, a friend, you know, someone of the cloth, and you know, it's a fellow business person to give you a VA moment.
Yeah, 100%.
I know,
100%. Because I'm sure she said it much, much kinder than she was thinking.
It was my friend Barry Barrett who says, "And you're not going to hire Tracy."
And so I've been there.
So I worked it hard.
I
worked it hard. Thank you so much again to Bob Cooper for having us down here at the Elite Invitational. We're in San Diego. I've never been here before. What a cool city.
Wow.
What's your biggest takeaway so far?
So far was actually from the panel yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was, I think there were five customers there, and three of those customers vastly preferred dealership service. The more they talked about it, they vastly preferred dealership service, very specifically because of the amenities. Okay, understood. The more they kind of dove into what those amenities were and just started mentioning those things, I was floored. Not only us, I think how the industry, how many people already in that room, how many shops already in that room were today ready, whether it's text to pay or two-way texting or digital vehicle inspections, we were already at a place today where we can compete with those amenities that they're talking about loving so much. Yeah. One person mentioned that she likes high ceilings when she walks into the place. Okay, we can't control everything, but the vast majority of those things, not only can we do, we're already doing.
That's right. One of the takeaways that I had, and I can't go back to my notes right now so quickly, but the Cool Kids Club is basically what they're creating. You know, you've got a Lexus, you pull up, you get your breakfast, you get all this really cool stuff. Okay, maybe we don't do breakfast, or maybe as an independent at a high-end, say, Euro shop, we're looking for this kind of high-end stuff, that Wednesdays just so happen to be, maybe every other day or maybe a certain day of the week, we have McMuffins. And I know that's kind of, my point is that who says we can't do something off the wall?
I think you're exactly right. And I think often I fall into a trap of thinking that, oh, that's hard to repeat. That's hard to scale. That's, who cares? Do it until you can't.
Do it till you find out if it's good or bad.
Yeah.
Do it to make noise.
Yeah.
Do it to create stickiness in your relationship with your customer. And if they're not out talking about you, then you've done something wrong.
Right. And again, admittedly, we can't do everything to compete with dealerships.
No.
A large part of our business is Lexus. I can't compete with a lot of the things that Lexus does, but we can do something.
I had to buy something for one of my vehicles. I walked into the dealership. The service counter is here. The parts counter is there. I walked up to the parts counter. It was this weird blade that I needed. And I had to take the ticket to the cashier. And as I was standing there observing, I'm watching that there's a vending machine here and there's this TV going on over there. And as much as this was the waiting room for service, I wasn't impressed. It seemed industrial and cold to me. I was surprised that there were people waiting. Obviously, they didn't have a loaner car program in this particular place. But I looked at, we have plexiglass, but it wasn't regimed. We are much closer to our customer than I think the dealerships allow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the things that we've always used to our advantage. Again, we can't do everything that they can do. One thing we can do, I am absolutely convinced that we can do better than them, is relationships.
Yeah.
100%.
This was a blast. Thank you for carving out some special time here, because the schedule is so compact.
It is. It is. No, thank you again. It's an absolute honor. And hopefully we stumbled on something that somebody will find useful and help them somewhere. Because I should also say that absolutely nothing I've shared today is original. I'm a huge fan of R&D. It's rip off and duplicate.
Absolutely.
And I think it's one of the most effective strategies in small business. Somebody else is doing it well.
Yeah.
Just see how they're doing it and serve your customers the same way.
Please steal an idea and make it your own, because, and when you do, it becomes yours and it
100%.
Becomes uniquely to you. Daniel Griffith, Wally's Precision Auto Care, Las Vegas. Thanks for being here, man.
Thank you guys. It was a blast.
Thanks, Daniel. And say hi to Jennifer and Claire after
I'll do it. I'll do it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.